that's good. You know, if everybody practiced it, the nation would be better off. Not even a debate about it. I mean, you can go back 30 years ago even and see the difference that the Bible made in our nation, as well as the Board of Education of the Seat of Understanding. And I still believe the Bible way of raising kids, and not the psychologist, not the latest self-help book out there, Spock and whoever else wants to write it, but the Lord is absolutely a much better expert than any human being. And so I'll just continue to raise my kids the Bible way. And I pray my kids will raise their kids the Bible way. And that does include corporal punishment. And the Bible says that they won't die if you spank them. I've summarized, but that's basically what it says. Crawford version. In fact, the Bible says if you don't spank them, that you're in danger of sending them to hell. And so I believe absolutely. So a preacher, spanking doesn't work. Then you're doing it wrong. Well, you don't understand my kid. I've seen them all. You say, well, mine's the poster child for the strong-willed child. Been there, done that. Just be consistent. By the way, spankings don't work unless you spend time with your kids. You got to develop a relationship with them, love them, in order for the corporal punishment to work. So good job on the song tonight. Leads me into my soapbox. But it's a good one. And I know we got lots of young couples here tonight. I just encourage you, husbands and wives, stick to it. Stick to the Bible. And these timeout things, I don't understand them. We never use timeout at my house, not going to. Never used a corner at my house. Did it the Bible way. And if you'll do it that way, you'll be fine. Because God's promised to bless it. If you do it the Bible way, God will bless it. You do it Spock's way, he won't bless it. And so just be consistent. Be loving, kind, and gracious. Rules without reason and relationship produces rebellion. So just be kind and gracious and love. All right. This is Super Mission Sunday, not Family Day. So, and by the way, the King James Bible's good, too. I'll just stick with that, too. All right. I just feel like preaching, but I'm going to let Brother Bruner come. Brother Zach Bruner. I appreciate Brother Bruner, again, steadfastness there in Brazil. Did a fantastic job. Had an opportunity. Both his missionaries stayed in our home last night. A couple of reasons. This is NASCAR weekend, if you didn't know it, and called up the hotel we normally use, and we could still get a room if you wanted to pay for it. And so we had the opportunity to have him in our home. We've enjoyed that, enjoyed getting the fellowship with him. And I know Brother Bruner's dad, known him for years and years and years, and appreciate this faithful family. Brother Bruner, you come on and preach to us as they take the one out and provide the Board of Education the seat.
Thank you, sir. Well, amen. Mine was a Walmart special. It wasn't Sears. My dad had a Walmart special belt. Amen. Well, it is an honor to be here this evening, and we're just so excited to be able to be here and share with you just a little bit of what God has done through the investment of Heritage Baptist Church. And I just want to take this opportunity to say thank you for your hospitality, generosity. Young men, thank you for letting us tag along and spoil your fun last night. And Landon, I hope he wasn't too annoying. Just think back 5 or 6 years, that was you. So, no, we had a great time with them last night. Thank you, Brother Jesse, for allowing us to tag along. I apologize about family's not here with me this evening. Just my oldest son, Landon. Not just, but I have the opportunity this next week and a half to travel with him. Landon, go ahead and stand up. He's our oldest. He's 8 years old. Thank the Lord for him. And our others are there in Dubuque, Iowa, resting a little bit. We've been traveling nonstop since the end of January. So the younger kids were getting a little tired and worn out. So we sent them home to Dubuque, and Sarah started packing for Brazil. We leave May 31st, so we're looking forward to getting back to Brazil. But thank you so much for the opportunity of being here. We have a little short 6-minute DVD presentation that we'd like to show to you this evening. And we're just so thankful that we're able to partner with you in Brazil. We've been in São Paulo our first 3 years there in Brazil, learning the language, trying to learn the culture, working underneath a missionary down there in São Paulo, Brother Sean Lunde. He's been there almost 25 years now, and we've had a great opportunity being able to learn from him, work alongside him. I've been the music director, bus director, and maintenance director down there in the church there in São Paulo. Just everything you do here, just in Portuguese. But it's been a wonderful learning experience for us as we make our way up to the Amazon Basin. So I just want to go ahead and show this DVD, and we just want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for allowing us to partner with you. We look forward to many more years, and I hope it's a blessing to your heart, because every soul saved is fruit that will abound to your account. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for all that you've done for us, the impact that you've made on our family and ministry. We are so thankful to be able to come back and share with you what God has done in spite of us many times, but we thank the Lord that he's allowed us to be over there, and we're just excited to get back. Many people ask, if the Lord's called you to the Amazon and the city of Tabatinga, where we'll be moving to, is a city of 15,000 people, why would you go to São Paulo? And the goal was twofold. The first goal was language. One of the premier language schools located in Brazil is located in São Paulo. And we had the opportunity of attending that school. It was a school that was founded by missionaries for missionaries. And be able to have that school that with the language, a Bible-based language school, was such a blessing for us, being able, because that's what we're doing down there. I'm reading the Bible. We're preaching out of the Bible. We're doing the same lessons that we do here, the same Bible stories that we do here, but I need to know how to do it in Portuguese. And they were there to help us do that. And it was such a blessing. The second goal was to work with Brother Sean Lunde. We felt the Lord leading us to work with him. When we surrendered to the Amazon's a huge place. And we had no idea exactly where God wanted us to go. And the Lord used Brother Lunde to help us in seeing in this area, the Javadi Valley region, right there on the border of Colombia and Peru. As the DVD said, it is home to the largest concentration of uncontacted people on earth. This isn't uncontacted people with the Bible. This is uncontacted people with civilization. They don't know what Coca-Cola is. They don't know what an airplane is. That's why you see many pictures like this. They have like their bows. They have no idea what's flying on top of them. And to us, we're thinking, how is that even possible today? But it's amazing how many people are still there that have never stepped foot out of their tribe, never stepped foot out of where they've grown up. And what an opportunity we have for the first contact for them to have with the outside world is with God's Word. What an opportunity there is in that area. We ask that you please pray with us and pray for us as we endeavor to go there. Our plan was to go straight from Furlough to the Amazon Basin, to Tabatinga. And we made plans in January of 2015. We started selling everything we had. There's not a way to get all our stuff from São Paulo to Tabatinga, so we were selling everything. We were getting rid of all the stuff in our house, our cars, and our car and everything. And by the end of August, we had gotten rid of everything, and we were ready to go. And throughout that summer, you know, our hearts are there in São Paulo. And we wanted to stay, but our hearts wanted to stay, but I knew God was calling us to the Amazon. And church members were saying, when you get back from your furlough, you're going to come back here, right? And I was trying to let them off easy. I wanted to say, no, we don't love you. We're not coming back here. Forget you guys. But I was trying to think of a spiritual way to portray it. And I said, well, the Lord may, whatever door the Lord opens up, that's the door we're going to walk through. You know, we feel that he's leading us to the Amazon, but he changes plans all the time and whatever door. But in my heart, I was thinking, there's no way we're going to the Amazon. We're done with São Paulo. And in the last Sunday that we were there in São Paulo, we had a leadership meeting just to make sure all the ministries were taken care of. And our Sunday school superintendent looked at me and said, Pastor, will you please come back and help us? And right then and there, I kind of felt the door to the Amazon right now for us to move up there closing, and the door to go back to São Paulo opening. And inside I was saying, no! But, you know, just like Paul said there in Acts, when he endeavored to go one way, but then he heard the Macedonian call, come over to Macedonia and help us. And they've asked us to come back and help them in that last transition of everything being turned over into Brazilian hands. So we will be returning to São Paulo to help them in that process. And in doing so, we will continue the groundwork there in the Amazon. And one way that we have done that is medical missions. Medical missions has opened many doors in that area. It's opened doors with the government. It's opened doors in the schools and the tribes and in the villages. And the Lord has really used that to open many doors. And in July 18th through the 28th this year, we're going to be taking another trip. And I ask that you please pray about something. We are holding a medicine drive for this trip. Every time that we go down, medical doctors go down, nurses go down, they're able to take all the strong stuff, all the stuff that you need a prescription for, the heavy stuff. They are able to get donated, and they take down with them. But one thing that we're always in need of is ibuprofen, Tylenol, and then vitamins. Brazil does not provide vitamins, not even in São Paulo. You cannot get vitamins in Brazil. And the people up in the Amazon, that's their biggest need is vitamin deficiency. And so we're always looking for prenatal vitamins for the ladies and children's vitamins and just general vitamins, women, all the different types of, man, there's all the different types of vitamins that you can get. We're always looking for that. And we're asking our churches here in the States to help us in this medicine drive. And ask that you please pray about that. And if you have any questions after church, I can give you a little bit more information if you would like a little bit more information about that. But the Lord has been working through those missions, medical missions trips. And it is our goal. Medical missions is not the ultimate goal. Church planting is the ultimate goal. And it is our goal to move up there to Tabatinga and be able to be there on site when these trips are done to follow up in these villages. And through the relationships that have been built through medical missions, growing those relationships and planting churches in these villages that we're able to hold these medical clinics. So please pray about the Amazon basin. Pray about the Javari Valley. Pray for the people there. Pray that we're able to get up there and in the Lord's timing as quick as possible. I'm praying it's as quick as possible. So we are so grateful to have this opportunity to be with you tonight. And then real quickly this evening, we're going to be in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. This morning we heard a wonderful message on why missions. Why missions? And if I could, I would just say ditto, let's pray, and let's go, because you can't get any better than what we heard this morning about why missions. But this evening, we know we've heard why, so that all nations can praise Him, because He's worthy of praise. But tonight, we're going to see one of the biggest hindrances of why we don't get involved in missions. One of the biggest hindrances of why we don't get involved, whether it be if God is calling you to go, whether it be God is calling you to give a little bit more in your commitment, whatever it may be, whatever part the Lord may have for you to be involved in missions, there's a hindrance that we come to. And it's found here in Exodus chapter 3. And this morning in Sunday school class, I thought Brother Scott was gonna teach on, because he started talking about Moses, and I was like, wait, don't. But he went a different direction, so I'm happy about that, Brother Scott. Thank you, sir. But here in Exodus chapter 3, it's a very familiar story that we're going to read first 10 verses of Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. I love those two verses, how out of the busyness of his life, he turned aside to see. And you know, our lives get so busy today. We get so busy with our families. We get so busy with work. We get so busy with so many things. But I thank the Lord that tonight you turned aside to see. But notice what happened when he turned aside to see. That's when God called and said, Moses, Moses. You know, you've turned aside to see tonight. Now God's calling. Now it's our job, like Moses here, to listen and see what God has for us this evening. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for your word. Please help us now in this time that we have. Lord, please speak to our hearts. Lord, use me as you see fit, Lord, to relay your message to your people. Lord, as we listen, help us to remove all the hindrances from our hearts and from our minds that would keep us from hearing your word and responding to you as you'd have us, Lord. Speak to us this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Here the Lord comes to Moses. And he says, Moses, I've heard the cry of my people. I've seen their oppression. I've seen the affliction wherewith they've been afflicted. And Moses, I'm going to deliver my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses, this is my desire. The cry has come unto me. And I thank the Lord that the cry has come unto him. The cry of the lost goes to the Lord. And you know, when he heard the cry, when he sees the cry, when he sees the need, he always fulfills the need. He always has an answer. And he said, I've heard their cry, and now I'm going to deliver them. But in verse number 10, he says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee. He said, this is something I'm going to do. I'm going to deliver my people. But Moses, I want to use you. Moses, I want to use you to be my spokesperson. Moses, I want to use you to fulfill my will. May I ask a question? Does this sound familiar? The Lord hears the cry of the lost each and every night. Every night the lost go to bed. They're crying themselves to sleep, searching for that thing to fill their heart, searching for that void that's in their heart through booze, through anything that this world, everything that this world can offer. And they're not finding peace. And they're crying, they're oppressed, they're afflicted. And their cry has come unto the Lord. And he says, it's my desire to seek and to save that which was lost. Go ye and preach the gospel to every creature. It's his desire to see every soul saved, is it not? But may I say, just like he said with Moses, come now and I will send thee. It's his desire to use each and every one of us to be his spokesperson in fulfilling his desire. It's his desire to use each and every one of us in fulfilling the Great Commission, is it not? Thank the Lord for the opportunity that we have. You know, that night that I got saved on June 2nd, 1994, the Lord could have used the pew. The Lord could have used a songbook. He used a donkey one time to give his message. But you know what he decided to use? What he chose to use that night? A human being to kneel down beside me and show me from God's word how I can go to heaven when I die. What a blessing that is that each and every one of us have. What an opportunity that we have. What a privilege that we have. What an opportunity that Moses had here. And we know the rest of the story, how the Lord said, come now and I will send thee. And Moses said, all right, let's go. Nuh-uh. We're going to see here the biggest hindrance of why we say no. The biggest hindrance of why we don't go. And we know here, starting in verses 11 through the end of the chapter, Moses starts looking at it through his eyes. He puts himself in this box, and he says, Lord, all that you're asking me to do is outside of my box. It's outside of my capabilities. Lord, I don't have that ability. I don't have that ability. I can't do this, and I can't do that. He started looking at what he couldn't do. He started looking at what he didn't have. He said, Lord, who am I? But like we heard this morning, it's not about who I am. It's not about who you are. In verse number 14, the Lord says, I am that I am. Right. Moses, it's all about me. It's who you have with you. And Moses continued, and with one question, the Lord brought everything back into perspective for Moses. here in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand?" What is that in thine hand? He said, Moses, it's not about what you can't do. Moses, it's not about what you don't have. Moses, it's not about what you're not capable of doing. But Moses, what do you have? Moses, what is that in thine hand? So many times we look at what we can't do, we look at what we don't have in our hands, what we don't have at our disposal, and we say, because of what I don't have, I cannot do what God has called me to do. And yet we forget about everything that we do have at our disposal. We forget about everything that we do have in our hand. The problem has never been the silence of God not calling His people. The problem has always been the response of His people. You know, when God said, "Go ye and preach the gospel to every creature," we think to ourselves, how is that even possible? But a preacher once said, God raises up enough men in every generation to reach the entire world, but not enough men answer the call. He's given our generation everything that we need to reach the entire world. But too many of us are going to look at what we don't have. Too many of us are going to look at the excuses that we do have instead of, what is that in thine hand? And real quickly this evening, we're going to see four things that we have in our hand. Number one, we have the rod of a present God. We have the rod of a present God in Exodus chapter 4, verses 2. Verse 2, he says, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." And the Lord told him to cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And he told him to pick it up, and he picked it up. And he said, "That they may see that the Lord thy God hath appeared unto thee." Whenever the Lord sent Moses into Egypt to stand in front of Pharaoh, Moses was not alone. You know who was right there with him? His God. Amen. Our Father. I thank the Lord for the presence of God in our life. During the mountaintops, I thank the Lord for His presence. In the valleys, I thank the Lord for His presence. Through the fire, through the trials, through the tragedies, through the heartaches, we have the presence of God in our lives. And I thank the Lord for His presence in our life. We see in one of the most famous scriptures when it comes to the Great Commission of Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Do all of this. Fulfill the Great Commission." And He says, "And lo, I am with you always." When you'll take that step of faith and follow Him in serving Him, He says, "Lo, I am with you always." When you'll take that step of faith and follow Him, whether it be service here, the Lord has something that He wants you to do here at Heritage Baptist Church. There is something for you to do. He has a ministry He wants you to be a part of. He has someone He wants you to reach. But many times we step back. Many times we say no because the fear of being alone, the fear of the heartache, the fear of the troubles that might come. But may I say, when you'll step out by faith, when you'll follow Him, you'll have the presence of God in your life. Not only that, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we see another very familiar story here in 1 Samuel chapter 17 with David and Goliath. We're going to go to the last verse of this story in verse number 50. The Bible says, "So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with the stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David." You know, David had every excuse why not to go and fight the Philistine that day. He didn't have a sword in his hand. He didn't have any armor. He didn't have any experience. He didn't have anything. In our eyes, Saul told him the same thing. He said, "You can't go. You don't have this. You don't have this. You don't have this. You don't have this." But David wasn't looking at what he didn't have in his hand. David wasn't looking at what he wasn't capable of doing or what he didn't have. He said, "I know what I have. I have a sling of a prevailing God." Not only do we have a rod of a present God, we have a sling of a prevailing God. He said, this Philistine's no better than that bear that the Lord helped me to defeat. This Philistine is no better than that lion that the Lord helped me to defeat. I know I've seen God prevail in my life, and I know He'll do it again. We have a prevailing Savior. We have a Savior who has given us the victory over sin. He's given us victory over the grave. He's given us victory over death. He's given us victory over the devil. He's given us the victory. And now He says, now be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Lord's given us the victory. He's prevailed. And we need to remember. We need to look what we have. We have a, like we heard this morning, we have a wonderful Savior. We have His presence. We have the prevailing God. And then in 2 Kings chapter 2, we see a mantle of a powerful God. We see the mantle of a powerful God. Elijah's going off the scene in 2 Kings chapter 2. And Elisha, his apprentice, his preacher boy, was hanging on to the coattails of Elijah, just going along for the ride. And he asked a peculiar question in 2 Kings 2, verse 9. He says, I pray, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Elijah says, wow, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I be taken, it shall be so. But if not, it shall not be so. He was given a promise right then and there. If you see me when I be taken from thee, this will happen. But if you do not see me, it will not happen. They go on to the next verse, and that in verse number 11, the chariot comes down to get Elijah, and the Bible says that the chariot had to part Elijah and Elisha asunder. Elisha was so close to Elijah, it had to part them asunder. I can just imagine Elisha holding on to his robe, holding on to that mantle and saying, I'm not letting go. If you're going to the bathroom, I'm going to the bathroom. I'm staying wherever you are. Elisha was doing whatever he had to do to receive the promise that he had been given. The question is, are we doing what we need to be doing to receive the promises that we have been given? We've been given precious promises in God's Word. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The question is, are we doing our part? Elisha here, he saw what the God that Elijah had, and that day when he took up that mantle, walked over to Jordan, smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? When those waters parted hither and thither, it wasn't because Elisha was this great superhero. It wasn't because he was an extraordinary young man. It was because he was an ordinary young man that realized the power of God in his life. He did what he had to do to receive the promise of God. And that day forward, the Lord worked many powerful things through his life because of what he saw that he had in his hand, the mantle of a powerful God. And then lastly, in John chapter 6, we see a basket of a providing God. We see a basket of a providing God. We're given one verse about this young boy, about a lad who had five loaves and two small fish. When I get to heaven, I do. I want to see all the great heroes of the faith. I want to sit at their feet and I want them to tell me stories. But I want to go to this little boy and I want him to tell me the story of this day. What a wonderful story this is. This little boy had every excuse why not to give his basket to Jesus. Because they said to themselves in John 6, verse number 9, there's a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? Yeah. Why are we even messing with five loaves and two fish? What are they among so many? But you know, this little boy didn't look at what he didn't have. He didn't look at the fish he didn't have. He didn't look at the bread he didn't have. He saw what he had, and he saw who he had. And he gave his basket to Jesus. And that little boy didn't run off. He didn't run home. And he stayed there. And do you know who was watching as Jesus was performing this great miracle? There was a little boy who knew exactly what he had given to Jesus and was seeing what God was doing, which is that little bit he was able to give. We have a providing God. We have a God who desires to provide for the multitudes. He wants to see souls saved. He wants churches to be filled. He wants the altars to be filled. He wants the baptismal waters to be stirred. God desires to bring the increase. But are we doing our part? This evening, the Lord has something for each and every one of us. Maybe there's something He wants you to do a little bit more for Him this year, 2016. Maybe there's a little bit more. Maybe He wants you to give this year. Maybe He wants you to give more time. Maybe He wants you to give more talents. Maybe He wants you to give more your abilities a little bit more. Maybe He wants you to get more involved. There's something that God wants you to do here at Heritage Baptist Church for the Great Commission. But as He's talking to you tonight, what is your reaction? Is it, well, I don't have that. Well, I can't give more because if I had the job that that guy had, I could give more. If I had that, I could give more. If I did this or if I did that. Well, if I don't have her abilities, I don't have his talent, I would do that if I was able to do that. Or are we looking at the wonderful Savior that we have? The presence that we have when we'll follow his steps. The power that he's given us. So many times throughout the Gospels, He healed the sick, He raised the leper, He did all these things, but so many times you hear the phrase, according to your faith, be it unto you. He had the power to do it, but they had to unlock that power. We have a powerful God. We have a prevailing God. We have a providing God. The question tonight, what is that in thine hand? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house this evening. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for who you are. Lord, what a great sermon we heard this morning. I pray that we would not forget why the Great Commission is so great, so that everyone can hear and praise you. Lord, help us to do our part. Help us to Lord, stop looking at what we don't have. Stop looking at what we're not capable of doing, but Lord, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher for our faith, looking at who you are and what you desire to do through our lives. Speak to our hearts this evening in Jesus' name.